ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
He always says he was supportive compared to other, like, Chinese parents that we grew up with.
Did he wear that as a badge of honour?
Yeah, I think he would brag about it.
It's been a stratospheric rise for comedian Aaron Chen. Getting his start on stand-up, he won a heap of fans starring in Fisk and Charmingus on Taskmaster. But at the top of his game, he left Australia to start again in New York City.
I wanted to move to America to, like, get better at comedy, and that's my aim beyond, like, growing more popular or whatever. I love doing stand-up. It's, like, the main thing I like to do, and this is, like, you get to do it so much in New York.
Well, I got this thing where my nipples can't be exposed for too long. I'd say it's my biggest weakness, but never say that at a job interview.
You're not here to make more money or become more famous. You're here to hone your craft.
Yeah, well, I got to a point in Australia where it felt like people would laugh the moment I walked onto stage, which is so nice. Like, it's nice to have that stature, but I felt like it would be hard to figure out if I was still, like, doing comedy at the best I could. So moving to America where, like, no one really knew who I was or anything, it was, like, exciting, you know, starting again.
Well, we do know you as an award-winning comedian.
Yeah.
You've built up a huge following in Australia and globally online as well over the last 10 years or so. But does music play a big part in your life?
I guess they have music to bring me onto stage, and then the music when I come off stage, and, like, the playlists beforehand. Like, in the, so it's like comedy always collaborates with music.
Give it up for the amazing Aaron Chen!
Do you choose your own playlist?
I do,
to get
yeah.
Hyped up?
Yeah, I choose all the house music and stuff, try to theme it and stuff like that.
Okay, for each show?
Yeah, the last show I did was a lot of country music, and then before that I did, like, early 2000s pop music, like, that my sister would listen to, like, maybe, like, electronic music.
Yeah, know? Right.
Yeah.
It certainly puts people in a mood or confuses people depending on what you decide to choose.
Yeah.
It's like, what's happening? What am I about to see on stage?
Yeah, I feel like they don't even know that I pick it too. They're like, the venue probably chose it. So it doesn't even, like, matter to the audience.
So now it's on the record that you are actually the music supervisor for all your shows.
Yeah, I do. I supervise.
Supervise. Well, you're not even 30 years old. Your life has had so much adventure already. We're going to wander through those stages, those chapters of your life so far. What's your first choice?
Arcade Fire, Neighbourhood Number One. You change your
song that opens that very first record, their debut, Funeral, right?
Yes. I didn't know which song to pick on it because I used to, like, always listen to albums all the way through. I don't know why, but I did that.
It's very old school.
Yeah, I guess when I really got into music was probably around the time I started comedy, like, late high school. And I would just buy albums because I didn't have, like an iPod or anything. Like, it was, like, different back then, how you had to do things.
Where did you grow up?
Hornsby or Asquith.
So northern suburbs of Sydney.
Yeah.
Kind of a very suburban lifestyle.
Very suburban lifestyle, like in the bush council, you know. Very, a lot of gum trees around. You could go for a bushwalk. So, like, the first time I ever got into music was probably, like, in, like, I would listen to music before that. Like, I heard stuff before. Like, you do hear music, even if you don't intend to.
Yeah.
But when I actively listened to it was maybe when I got Guitar Hero in year 8. And then so I got into, like, rock music from that, and then in year 11 and stuff, I would, like, go online and go on, like, Pitchfork and stuff and look at whatever music they were trying to make me listen to and stuff.
Make you listen to?
Yeah. But I feel like that era ended in about like 2015. Like I stopped listening to new music after that.
Okay, so we just got a capture of that very specific era in music, around 10 years.
Yeah, I'd listen to Triple J and stuff like that.
Yeah, nice. This song has got such a beautiful kind of piano twinkling beginning.
Yeah.
It sort of opens up the start of this record, but it feels like you're at the beginning of a great quest. It feels like you're at the beginning of an adventure. Did you feel like that when you were listening to this album as it would build?
I'm sure of it. I feel like I would listen to a whole album to see like what it was all about, and that was probably one of the most cohesive ones of that era of listening.
Where were you listening to this album in particular?
I feel like there's a lot of themes of like driving and the suburbs, and that was what I related to because I think I was getting like my driver's license at around that time, and I'd drive to like, I'd do long drives from Hornsby to like the city to do comedy and stuff like that with my dad.
Yeah, I was gonna say, who was with you in the car?
Yeah, my dad would have to supervise me getting my driving hours. When he was in the car, we'd listen to like classical music or whatever, because that's his thing, you know.
That's his jam.
Yeah, and he was doing a big favour. And then he'd wait in the car. I'd go do the spot.
I do have my full licence, do the learner's test, right? And in New South Wales, in the learner's handbook, there's a section on three-point turns. And one of the paragraphs in that section, it starts with the sentence, "Don't be ashamed to turn off onto a quiet street to do your three-point turns." Now, I didn't even know that was even a thing associated with shame. Like, up until that point, I'd done most of my three-point turns on quiet streets. But since finding that out, now I've got to do them on motorways.
Sometimes he'd come watch, but he doesn't speak English well, so he doesn't like comedy that much.
That's a pretty supportive dad, though, to drive
so
you.
So supportive,
like,
yeah.
30 kilometres south to Sydney.
Unbelievable.
Stick around and then drive you, or be in the car to get you back home again.
Yeah. Sometimes we remember bedrooms and our parents' bedrooms and the bedrooms of our friends. Then we think of our parents. What would ever happen to them? You'd change all the names.
Tell me a little bit about your dad. Were you guys pretty close growing up?
Yeah, we were close. Like, it was just me and him growing up, so we'd hang out all the time, you know. But he was working late and I was doing my thing, so we had, like, sometimes we were, like, housemates and other times we'd hang out.
And he knew that you were getting into comedy.
Yeah.
What was his understanding of the path that you were going down?
He'd seen me a couple of times, like, he'd come and watch. He was, like, I think loosely interested. He never said, like, don't do it. He was, like, kind of live and let live type of thing, because I was always at school. At that time, I was at school and going to uni, so I always had something else. So it wasn't like I was doing it and foregoing everything else.
Is your dad creative?
He is a painter. Now he's a painter. He was, he worked at a newspaper, like, getting, like, ads for real estate and stuff, but he loves, I think, yeah, he always talks about how he loves painting and stuff like that. So he's back into it big time.
So he must have been quite stoked to see you taking that creative path, if it's something that he was passionate about. It's a different kind of creativity, but still you're like, it's something within that you're able to share with that's beautifully creative and also, you know, is enjoyable for others all over the world.
Yeah. Oh, I think so. Like, I think, like, deep down that plays for him. Like, he always says he was supportive compared to other, like, Chinese parents that we grew up with. Like, they wouldn't let it fly, you know.
Did he wear that as a badge of honour?
Yeah, I think he would brag about it.
Like, yeah, that's what I was wondering.
He wanted.
There's a real yearning in these lyrics as well to this Arcade Fire song, this whole album. You know, there's kind of a reach for something greater than where you are. Did you feel like you were yearning for something bigger than where you were in the suburbs?
I think so. Like, Hornsby was such a comfortable, nice place to grow up, but it was boring, and like everything that I was doing and wanted to do was taking place like in the inner west of Sydney, you know, like where I could do comedy and stuff. So I thought that was big escape from like the tediousness of like catching the train an hour.
So many Take Fives I do are with people who've done a million interviews. That one, though, I had no idea what was coming next. And Aaron Chen delighted me the whole way through. You can see that in the most recent Take Five TV series on ABC iView and hear an extended version of it here on the Take Five podcast. I'll pop links to both in the show notes.
Double J has the best music to soundtrack your summer. Whether you're in the car, relaxing at home, catching up with friends, or working through... Sorry. You can take Double J with you on the ABC Listen app. Stream Double J live or check out brilliant classic albums, special episodes of the Take 5 podcast, exclusive live concerts, and heaps more. Double J and more great music for summer is on the ABC Listen app.